FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network, and I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is 10/30/18. Man, two more months to go to an incredible year. Hey, are you suffering from PTSD? Then you've come to the right place, especially if it's election-induced PTSD like so many of you out there are. Hey, as always, be a part of the show. Write us, kl@carrielutz.com. Well, Dr. John Huber is with us now to talk about the effects of election-induced PTSD upon our millennial generation. Dr. Huber, welcome back.
Thank you, Carrie, for having me back.
All right, so what of this notion? Is this real, that they really have PTSD, or is this just more nonsense?
Well, the study was kind of vague, but what they did is they asked people about symptomology, and they stated, you know, are you having nightmares about this and this type of stuff? And what they found was a really high percentage of our millennials reported symptoms of PTSD. They're not actually diagnosed with the PTSD. So the research is kind of misleading, but it still baffles the mind that, you know, something happened 2 years ago, they cannot cope and deal with and move forward. And they're getting very anxious about next week. I mean, it's
good for them.
It is stressing them out to no end.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Hey, if they want to know from PTSD, I was watching a show recently. It was basically on using cannabis to treat PTSD. One guy who was really a mess, he hit 24 IEDs while in Iraq. Okay, that's an improvised explosive device. And he said the last time it happened, the whole thing blew up around him, but somehow he survived it. So if they want to know from PTSD, let him ride over a couple of IEDs and see how that works. And I would just aver that while millennials might be suffering from nightmares at this particular point, we just got done living through an 8-year nightmare. So I really don't understand what their problem is, Dr. Huber.
Well, the problem is they're uninformed, and they get this 24-hour news media cycle through their social networks, and it's just a bunch of headlines. They don't actually do the research to follow up. They don't even, in most cases, read the articles. They just read the headline, which oftentimes in social media have nothing to do with what's actually written in the article below. It's just,
that's, you know, called, like, clickbait.
What's called clickbait.
Yeah, clickbait. So, yeah, they're totally uninformed and ignorant. But I am writing an article that I'll have you know that I think you might get a kick out of. And I don't know whether it's tongue-in-cheek yet or whether I'm just having fun as hell doing it. But basically, it's entitled The Millennials... Millennials, the next greatest generation. So, I still haven't determined whether it's true or not.
The funny thing is, there are some amazing millennials out there. They're not all like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some that work with me that I wouldn't trade for anything. I mean, you know, I asked for a report on Friday, and they walk in with three different versions of it.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what I wanted them to focus on.
I have three millennial children, and I was at my middle daughter's wedding a few weeks ago, and none of these kids are living in their cellar or their attic. So I proposed a toast to the millennials, and that they might be outliers, but they're doing amazing things, and I was proud of them, and everybody applauded. So that inspired me that maybe, you know, the greatest generation there, my father was 21. He's flying a B-24 bomber over the Himalayas, like risking death every time.
Right.
So that was at 21. Maybe the millennials are just taking a little bit longer, failure to launch kind of thing, but they're about to take off. And
hey, that's a significant, you know, comparison, because believe it or not, the millennials right now, they have a 20% suicide attempt rate.
Oh my goodness.
20%. Yeah. The next closest to that is actually the baby boomers at 16%.
Oh, so being disgruntled can come enlightenment, right? From dissatisfaction comes contentment. But, you know, it's interesting because, look, they're 30 years old, but the employment market for them right now has never been better in their lives. So the very person they loathe and are suffering from PTSD, the symptoms of PTSD, because obviously you can't just diagnose something like that, is the very person who is helping them get ahead and helping them realize their potential. Don't you find that a little ironic?
Well, I think it's very ironic. And again, it goes back to they're not doing their homework. They're being taught in college to sit back and realize that what you feel is more important than what you think and rationalize. And that's a scary thing. But the people who've gotten in charge of our colleges are in that mindset. What matters is intent, not whether you actually do what you say you're going to do.
So hey, let's say the worst scenario imaginable for them comes to pass. The Republicans pick up 6 or 7 Senate seats, and they maintain control of the House of Representatives. Is that going to be a get your Kool-Aid moment, drinking the Kool-Aid and just ending it here on a mass scale? Or are they going to have to figure out how to cope?
I think what's probably going to happen is they're all going to quit their jobs and file for disability because of the stress associated with losing that losing that election. And look what happened in the 2016 presidential election. You had all these polls out there saying that it was definitely Hillary Clinton. But if you looked at the demographics, they were interviewing 3-1 Democrats to conservatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's only winning by 2 or 3%, but they're polling 3 times as many liberals as conservatives. She should be way ahead. So with only a 2 or 3% percentage point lead, you knew she was losing. In fact, the morning before the election day, that Monday morning, she canceled the fireworks at her event.
I remember that.
That should have told the whole nation that she saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah. So, and there could well be fireworks. You know, I've proclaimed October, Dr. Huber, National Lie to Your Pollster Month, because, you know, you should never tell them the truth, because, you know, what happens now, it's also a big privacy issue. It's like, you get somebody calling from the XYZ survey company. Now, it could be a branch of the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, or it could be one of these so-called tilted independent polling organizations. You never really know who's polling you. But one thing you do know is they probably matched your phone number to your name, and they probably got a huge database on you or access to one. And whatever you tell them in this survey, they're going to be adding to it. So just on those grounds alone, you should lie to them. Or if you don't want to lie, don't talk to them. And then the good thing is, when you lie to the pollster, it helps increase the unreliability of the poll. And what's happened with polls, and I think you'll agree, is that they've just become a substitute for news or fake news that, oh, the words come out, there's a 50% favorability of Trump. Now, first of all, if half the people are lying and the other half aren't even answering the questions, I don't know how you figure that out. But, you know, nobody should deal with a pollster in modern day America, because you're giving out information. And as Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Google have shown, information can be a very lucrative tool of monetization, and B, it can be weaponized. So you should give them nothing.
It absolutely can be weaponized. I mean, that's the whole idea behind medical record, you know, confidentiality and HIPAA laws. You know, you don't want somebody to be able to find out about you so they can use your illness or your disability against you. So why would we give away that information essentially for no gain of our own?
So, hey, we get into work on, you know, November the 7th. And for those Democrats who didn't realize that November 7th was an election day, they found out that their candidates lost and nothing's changing. It's only getting worse. As a sympathetic, empathetic human being, how should you be talking to them and treating them?
Well, what I start doing is let's talk about what's going on in your life right now in the present. And what has changed between yesterday and today? You still have your job. You're still in college. You still have your student loans. What, you know, you still have your car payment. That's all there. Nothing has changed from your day-to-day functioning at this point. So there's nothing for you to be upset about. I'm not telling you not to be concerned, but you need to look at how it really affects us day to day in our day to day living environment. And I think if we can get them to focus on that, I think we've had 2 years since 2016 to 2018. I don't think we had a break in the political news cycle. I mean, it's just been one political ad after another for 2 years. So everybody's like, oh, wow, look at all the ads for political season. I'm like, what changed? Nothing. We had no break. So I'm going to tell them to do what I tell my patients to do when they first come to me is no news for a month, period.
Ooh,
no social media
cold
news,
turkey.
No television news.
That's cold turkey. That's really hitting it pretty hard. I mean, so if they need medication, how would you know they need medication if they're really suffering here?
Well, it's a matter of functional ability. Are you able to keep your job? Are you able to maintain your relationship with your friends and family? Are you able to stay in school? You know, are you able to function? And if you're not, then you need to go see your doctor or psychiatrist and start with that.
Right. So are we going to get a new personality disorder, the DM5 for Trump derangement syndrome? Or is this just a bunch of nonsense, basically?
Well, I don't know if it should be named after Trump because, you know, if they don't like him, why would they honor him by naming even a disease after him? So maybe we should just talk about, you know, somehow about the political shock or whatever. I'm trying to figure out the exact name for that.
We've got
to come up with it. And then I think we should copyright it before we.
I got it. It's called the EDSD, Election Day Shock Disorder. Is that good? Does that work? EDSD.
I love it. Election Day Shock Disorder.
Yeah, and it's
yes.
And that way, it's non-political too, because it doesn't deal with Republican, Democrat, Libertarian. It's just inability to cope with a election day result for which you have not adequately prepared yourself or accepted the possibility that a different outcome could indeed happen. You think we can get that? Can we get that in there? You think they'll put it in for us?
Well, the problem with the DSM is it's very politicized. In fact, the last one, I think it took 8 to 12 years of litigation before they released it because people didn't like certain names and things like that. So they've taken it out of the hands of the people who are actually in the trenches doing mental health work and thrown it into the arena of politics and law.
Yeah. Well, I guess like everything else, it's politicized, but really, isn't it interesting though that the right, their worst nightmare happens, Obama is elected. Okay, I think that's pretty accurate to the right, and I'm not looking at myself, but I'm just saying that was about the worst thing that can happen. You know what? Next day after Election Day, you get up, you go to work, you might not like what he's doing. You might think it's a complete unmitigated disaster on so many different levels. But you know what? You deal with it, and it's like it's not your life. Politics does not determine your internal state of happiness.
That's right.
But then we go fast forward to 2012, and these people are screaming at the moon. They're howling at the moon. They're banging on the doors of the U.S. Supreme Court. They're attacking people. They're just in this state. So you can't tell me that what I'm saying is that this is the cause of their current angst. It's simply been a catalytic type event that's brought out their existing craziness to these extremes, right?
Well, it's their inability to focus on reality. They're focused on pure emotions. And when we do that, what actually happens is your brain moves into a fight or flight mode. You know, just like if you're hiking in the forest and a bear crosses your hiking path, mm-hmm. you know, blood flow changes so you can defend yourself physically or run. And in that mechanism itself, we've traced it. We know what happens in your blood, in your brain. The blood flows from the frontal lobe where you have all your executive cortical processes mm-hmm. going on and the higher funk to the limbic system where all your emotions are.
Right.
So once you turn on those emotions, there's not enough blood flow to feed both of them. So uh-huh. you either feed the blood flow to the emotions or to your critical thinking, uh-huh. and you have to shut one of them off. And when you get all emotional, they're not thinking logically, they're not thinking critically, and those malevolent forces in the news media feed off of that. They're able to keep that going, and they use it to their benefit. And, you know, that's kind of capitalist society. I'm not going to stomp on them for that, mm-hmm. but the you know, you take a target and you work at it and you make it work for you, but it's not good for the individual to do that. They have to be able to pick themselves up, make good decisions based on their current needs, their economic needs, and their political wants. And if they're just all emotional, they're not even going to do that.
Wow. Well, that's pretty that's pretty disheartening that it could be such a large portion of the population. So I guess empathy, and when you want to try to make a point with one of these people, you got to use more feelings and emotion than you do logical argument, right?
Well, when they get into that fight or flight mode, yes, definitely. When they fall into that emotionality, and it's very difficult. In fact, in couples counseling, I teach my couples that the minute they start feeling emotional, they have to stop the conversation because it's going to become a fight. And they have to step back, set a time to come back to talk about that specific question or argument or discussion, and do it at a later time so they can keep their emotions in check and think rationally instead of responding purely out of emotion.
So they're in a very delicate state. And, you know, one of the things that Trump does, and I find it entertaining, but I know it's not really helpful, is he intentionally triggers these people. He knows exactly what to say to really get them going and really lose their minds, basically. So that isn't a good thing that he's doing, is it?
Well, from a mental health perspective, from ability to communicate, no, it's not. But as I watch him as a mental health professional, I watch him systematically control the news media and get them to pay attention to what he wants them to pay attention to by using those oftentimes irreverent quips and posts on his social media. Yeah. And in the background, he's moving forward as planned and doing the things he said he was going to do in his election cycle. And whereas if he wasn't doing that, they'd be, hey, look, he's doing this, let's stop it. But instead, they're taking the bait and they're running with it.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound like he's this crazy person who has no idea what he's doing and no grasp of reality, early onset Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever they're saying. He's a lot more on the ball than they appear to be.
Well, and you know, that's the defense. You know, you say he's crazy, he's having dementia and all this kind of stuff, when in fact, I don't, after watching him since the 70s, I don't think he does anything without a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows what he's doing. He knows, he learned the media from the media. He started again. You know, I remember watching him on Barbara Walters in the 1970s, you know, Then he got his own show and he ran the beauty contest, nationalized all that stuff and got in front of the cameras, and he learned how to work the system. And now the people that trained him are upset because he's actually using their system better than they are.
He certainly is. He's totally turned it around on them completely, and they have no idea how to deal with this. And that's the problem here. From their standpoint, they're clueless. They don't know what they're doing. And, well, hey, it's all working out according to his plan, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, if they want to know how to fix it, the thing that they need to do is don't take the bait and do what we were trained to do and what we got used to with Walter Cronkite. Go in there and report. Just give the data out there. And I think they would be better off and have better rewards for their goals. But they don't know anything else right now.
So for right now, they're kind of stuck, and there's not much that they can do about it other than to try to get to come to terms with reality. Because as much as they might not want it to be so, it's so. And we all go through things in life that we wish weren't happening. We're really unhappy, but yet you always have a way of dealing with it, a proper way of dealing with it, right?
Exactly. And, you know, nothing worthwhile is ever easy. So if you're going to try to accomplish this, you got to do your homework and you got to do the legwork with it. You can't just go out and, hey, let's get the Supreme Court to vote this way, or let's impeach the president. We've impeached presidents before. They don't necessarily leave office. That can do not necessarily what they want it to do.
That could be the worst thing. That could backfire too, right?
It's significantly, yes, significantly. So it's a tough situation, you know, and that's why I'm not in politics. I don't know what the best situation is for everything else. I know what makes my business run easier, but that may not represent what the whole nation needs. That's for people in a different pay bracket than I get.
Same here.
Exactly. So, you know, I know what I want and what I need is my practice and what would help foster that. And, you know, I think one of the big things in anybody's mental health practice is realizing that mental health disorders aren't a crazy thing. It's a human thing. And we have to be able to discuss it. And that's why I appreciate you having me on your show.
Oh, of course.
And it is important. And the more people realize that, the easier it is for you to talk about it, the easier it becomes for you to go and get help when you need it. And that's ultimately what I want. And yeah, does it help my business? Definitely. It will eventually in the long run, but it's going to help society. Yeah. And that's what I want.
All right. That's what we need to see. And hey, well, it's always great talking to you, Dr. Huber. Just tell us again where we find you.
Well, you can get us two ways. You can go to our website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. Or you can get to the same website by going to drpsycho.org, since it's Halloween.
Dr. Psycho. So hey.
drpsycho.org.
And remember this, if you get the doctor's email or voicemail message, okay, and it's an emergency, hang up and dial 911, okay, because he might not return the call quickly enough. So let's see what happens here.
Exactly.
All right. That's great. I love it. So anyway, doctor, always great to have you on. Hey, again, email us questions for the good doctor, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure you like, subscribe, and share. Doctor, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.